Psalm 122. Psalm 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, Peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. You may be seated.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Repeated four times in Psalm 107. I am delighted to be here this morning to praise the Lord with you as we journey toward Jerusalem. I was glad when they said unto me, Let's go to Weavertown. Let's go into the house of the Lord. Maybe a special honor to preach to the largest Beach Yamish church that I know of in the USA. I don't know all of you by name, but a fair amount of you. It's always a joy being here. People seem to appreciate our presence and the preaching of God's word. And while you're turning to what was just read, maybe I'll share a few opening tidbits further. Yes, we've been at Fincastle since August of 2013. That means it's been over 4 years. We loved it at Faith Mission. We love it at Fincastle. In comparison, we're a small group. We now are at 12 families. We have 73 on a normal Sunday morning if everybody is present, not counting visitors. Ministerial team is Tim Weaver and Dwayne Beachy and myself. And as a prayer request, you might pray for us as we anticipate a bishop ordination in 2 weeks from today, November 19. When I'm here, I'm not of the older ones. For a number of years, my wife and I were the old folks at Fincastle, the only ones in their 60s. Everybody else was under 50. But we now have five in the 60s, and that's a blessing. And I realize there's quite a span here, many that are older than 60. In fact, I'd like to ask all those who are members at Weavertown who are age 70 and above to stand as a unit. Psalm 90 says, The days of our years are 70 and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, and some of you are way past that, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for he is soon cut off, and we fly away. To use a group, I say, The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you, and may you further anticipate that time when you shall fly away. You may be seated. I enjoy being around old people and middle-aged and young ones. You've got quite a spread here, and I trust you appreciate what you have here. All of us have the potential for soon being cut off, flying away. But that's exciting. We read Revelation 21. It'll be even so much better. As for the Miller boys, the oldest one, Laverne, is in Nebraska teaching school for the first time. The youngest son, Matthew, is in Ukraine, Gorodetsky, teaching school for the first time. And Philip, the one in between, is here this morning. He likes to be trucking during the week. At least we have him weekends. Just thought I'd pass that on to satisfy your curiosity. And we anticipate further visitation afterwards with anybody. Psalm, and this is about right in the middle of your Bible. Recently, I came across this, and it just thrilled me. And so I'd like to pass that on to you. And just another tidbit this morning, I was glad that I chose not to. Brother Nate came up here, and he expounded from Micah 6. And even still yesterday, I was deliberating, shall I preach Micah 6, 8? I've done that in the last year, and I thought maybe you'd enjoy that here. But I laid that aside and chose this instead. I'm glad I did. In Psalm 120 and following, you'll find a series of 15 psalms. And they're all relatively short, following the longest psalm of all, Psalm 119. And I suppose in your Bible it has headings that say a song of degrees. Is that what it says for the heading of each one? And some of them may have a name included with it. The middle one, Psalm 127, says Song of Degrees for Solomon in my Bible. Two of them in the first half say Song of Degrees of David, and two in the second half, same way. And the remaining 10 are anonymous. So we have four that say Psalm of David. The one for Solomon may well have been penned by David as well. We call these the Song of Degrees. Now, do you know what that means? And another thing that thrilled me this morning was one of the first songs after Sunday school was, I'm pressing on the upward way. And I have that on my list as a concluding song. I don't know if we will, but that's what I'm thinking. We're pressing on the upward way. You can actually use that as a title if you like, Pressing on the Upward Way. As we look at these psalms as a set, degrees means elevation, journey to a higher place. A climactic progression. And it comes from a word that means elevation, a rise, and ascent, A-S-C-E-N-T, ascent. Going up, mounting up as stairs. And so some call these song of ascents. And I think that's very appropriate. There's different notions as to when these songs were actually sung by the Israelites, and it could have been on all occasions. But one idea is that when the Israelites, after 70 years of captivity in Babylon, they moved back up to home, Jerusalem, and that was upward. It was an ascent. And they sung these psalms as they were ascending back toward home. Another thought is that these 15 psalms were referred to the 15 steps of the temple. Outside the temple, they had 15 steps, apparently, and the worshipers often sang on those temple steps. Another idea is that these may have been sung on the three times a year that the Israelites went back to Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover, Feast of Pentecost, and Feast of Tabernacles. But the theme here that I want to draw out throughout this series of psalms is the upward journey. Pilgrim's progress. We're pilgrims, aren't we? We're making progress, hopefully so. We're going up. It applies to us. Toward Jerusalem. And just another idea, I can't verify that this is absolutely true, but this is what Henry Morris says concerning these 15 psalms. You might recall that Hezekiah, when he was pronounced deathly sick, and then he wanted a sign, and then the sun went back 10 degrees, and then he had an extra 15 years extended. You recall that story? I think you do. The degrees there in when the sun goes back so many degrees is the same word as the degrees we're mentioning here, the Song of Degrees. And Henry suggests that the 10 degrees were the sign that Hezekiah's life would be miraculously extended 15 years. And the author thinks that Hezekiah composed 10 psalms, one for each degree. And then he added 4 more unpublished ones from David, one and one for Solomon, making a total of 15 degrees, songs of degrees, one for each year of his prolonged life, for whatever that matters. But that's an interesting possibility. And then I was at this juncture going to sing "We're Marching to Zion," but didn't we sing that already this morning? Maybe not. Let's sing verse 1 at least. "We're Marching to Zion." It's song 30 if you need a book, but I think you know it by heart. Come we that love the Lord, and let our joy be
gone. Join in a song with sweet accord.
Join in a song with sweet accord, and thus surround the throne, and thus around the throne. We're marching on to Zion, beautiful, beautiful
Zion. We're marching upward to Zion,
Zion, beautiful city of God.
We're marching upward to Zion. We're marching upward to the fulfillment of Revelation 21. Is it worth the march? Is it worth the struggle? Absolutely. The Spanish, the heading for these various psalms says, Cántico gradual. And I think you can interpret that even if you don't know Spanish. It means gradual. And so it is. It's not just one leap, we're over there, but we're gradually marching onward and upward. And one of the statements that stuck with me yesterday from Brother Daryl Yoder at CAM Open House was, the Christians over in Iraq, the people of Iraq, they identify the Christians as those that walk a straight line rather than zigzaggy. They're known as the ones who keep their word. They walk a straight line. We're marching onward gradually, moving, changing slowly and by degrees. Some other overall things that I noticed in these 15 psalms, all of them minus one have less than 10 verses. We're not going to read all of them. They have a total of 101. In my Bible, it's only 4 pages. Average of 6.7 per psalm. And I'll try to pick out some highlights here and allow you to read with me on some of them. But notice Psalm 120. It begins with, in my distress. That's how it starts. How does it conclude? Tenfold blessing. From in my distress to a conclusion of blessing. Great blessing. And we'll get to that yet. Some frequently recurring words or names are Zion, Jerusalem, Israel, hope, and I will. And we want to be noticing those. And certainly we want to notice the Lord. He's mentioned in every psalm, I believe. I think he's mentioned 56 times in these psalms. And if I don't forget, I want to mention something about the Lord from each of these psalms. And I noted the number of the word peace 7 times. Peace. So let's begin the observation here of this journey. Psalm 120, verse 1, 2, and 7. In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. 7, I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. So the journey starts in hostile surroundings. There's distress. There's lying lips. There's the deceitful tongue. They're far from Jerusalem. That's where it starts. And I think he did the right thing in verse 1 and 2. He cried to the Lord. That's what we do. In the beginning of the journey and throughout the journey, when there's distress, cry it unto the Lord. Cry it for deliverance. We live in a world, we live in a country of fightings. But we're pro-peace. We are non-resistant. Which means that love is in action. Non-resistant is much more than just laying down guns. But we're not into this business of politicking and fighting. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. They, the other kingdom, they're for war. And I understand you're hearing about the two kingdoms here. And I realize full well when I come to Weavertown, you are well fed spiritually. I'm not bringing anything profoundly new or different. Maybe just want to say amen to the things from the scriptures. And what you have heard. We are for peace. We're not into this fighting business. And certainly as churches, we want to be pro-peace as well. Psalm 121. And we sang song number 401. Do you remember what we sang? Unto the hills do I lift up. This comes from this. So at this juncture, I invite you all to... Let's read it alternately. I'll read verse 1, and then you as a group reads verse 2, till we get down to verse 8. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help.
My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth.
He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand.
The sun shall not strike thee by day, nor the moon by night.
The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul.
The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore.
And maybe the pilgrims, as they were journeying, at least they had started, they were starting to catch a glimpse of the walls or the mountains surrounding Jerusalem. And literally, there are mountains surrounding Jerusalem. We saw it with our own eyes exactly 2 years ago. My wife and I were there for the first time in our life. We had a son living in Jerusalem, so we went over and joined him and saw the mountains around there and some of the other wonderful sites there in Israel. But this is a real place. Let's notice the Lord, lest we forget here. The Lord in each of these psalms. It says in verse 2 that's where our help comes from. It says in verse 2 what it says throughout the whole Bible, that the Lord created the heaven and the earth. And he didn't do it through evolution either. He just made it, as recorded in Genesis 1. And the Lord is the one who, he didn't sleep last night when I did. He's the one who keeps us. He's the one who preserves us. One of the key words in this psalm is keep. Keep and preserve. And they both have the same original Hebrew word I discovered. Shamar, which means to hedge about, guard, protect, attend to. And as we're journeying toward Jerusalem, as we're marching onward and upward, we need this protection. There's dangers around us. And most of this psalm is by way of promise, if I'm reading right here. It says what he will do and what he won't do. He will not suffer your foot to be moved. He won't sleep. But he will protect us. He will keep us. He will be our shade. He will preserve us from all evil. He will preserve us when we go in and go out, even forevermore. And notice with me what we're supposed to do. What is my I will? That's already in verse 1. As we're traveling upward, we also, be times literally, look upward. We look toward our goal, and we look upward to, well, here it says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. But in reality, we're looking higher than the hills. I'm just going to refer to it. If I jump to another passage, I'll be back very soon, so don't lose your place. Jeremiah 3:23 says, truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly, in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. No, we in Virginia might feel quite secure. We're surrounded by mountains. What hurricane is going to get to us? We're protected. But Jeremiah reminds us, and we know full well, that our protection is not in the hills, not in the geographics. It's in the Lord. I think the Spanish and the Amplified in verse 1 have it in question form. From whence shall my help come? And then verse 2 follows with the answer. My help cometh from the Lord. I trust we understand that. And when there's a verse here that is a chorus, and I happen to know it, I might invite us to sing it. Let's do that with the next psalm, verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, when they said unto me, when they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Okay, Brother Dave already read this, so maybe I won't read it again, but I may make a few comments about it. Let's notice what it says about the Lord. That should be first. What does it say about the Lord? The Lord has a house. The Lord has tribes. The Lord receives our thanks. I gather this from various verses, verse 1, 4, etc. So the group is getting closer to Jerusalem, and they're getting excited about entering into the temple. And maybe I don't need to ask, how did you enter this morning? Was there a gladness in your heart? I trust so, that Sunday mornings is exciting time. Anticipation. If there's a favorite day of the week, it's Sunday, of course. When we get together with God's people, not because we don't love our work, of course we love our work, but it's just something special about fellowship with the saints and those we love and worshiping corporately. And you think this is a big group? What will it be like when we reach the fulfillment of Revelation 21? Corporate worship. We're going to hear singing and echoes of singing all over the place. I don't know how that will be. I am excited about that. So maybe they're within the walls. I'm not sure. Life Bible, if you have a Life Bible in the heading, it says for this psalm, stepping into the presence of God. What Jerusalem was for the Israelites, the church is for the believers today. And I'm not arguing that. So maybe we should ask ourselves, what can we do for the church? What can we do for Jerusalem? Verse 2 says, we shall stand within. I'm glad you came in here this morning. You can at least do that. Stand within. Verse 3 suggests that city that is compact together. We can be together. Not physically, we're together. We're all together here. You're all looking the same way. We're together. But I'd like to think that, and we'll have more of that later, that there's a spirit of togetherness and unity as well. We're together in this. What did I notice in verse 4? Testimony of Israel, to give thanks. We're here to give thanks. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Not just in November, but every Sunday morning. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. 6 says, pray. We're here to pray. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of the churches. Pray. Verse 8 says, for my brethren and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within thee. We express peace to one another. We greet each other afterwards or beforehand and say, God bless you, peace be unto you. This is very fitting. And verse 9, I really love that as well. I will seek thy good. You know what that says in German? Aaron probably knows what that says in German. Will dein Bestes suchen. We will seek the best for the church. Psalm 122. And yes, I noticed the word up. That was in verse 4. The tribes go up. We're still going up, up. Okay, Psalm 123. Who would like to read verse 1 and 2? Anybody can volunteer and read that. Yes, please. Thank you.
Behold, as the eyes of the servants look unto the hand of their master, and as the eyes of the maiden unto the hand of her mother, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, until that he have mercy upon us.
Thank you, Brother Daniel. Noticing the Lord, first of all, the Lord of mercy. It mentions mercy a number of times, and the prayer that follows at the end is a prayer of mercy from this merciful Lord. And this Lord is as our master. And I just like the picture there in verse 2 of we're expecting something from this master. We look to him expectantly. Unto thee lift up mine eyes. This time he's using a personal pronoun instead of to the hills. Unto thee. We're looking to the Lord as our master. We're expecting something from him. Whether we're praying or reading the word or whatever, we look to him expectantly for mercy. Not for justice, but for mercy. Psalm 124. Maybe I'll read verse 1 and then the last 3. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say. Then 6. Blessed be the Lord, who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And I'm just noticing right now that the creation idea is repeated betimes. I mean, that was a given in the minds of the Israelites, and it should be a given in today's Christian mind. Is it the Lord made the heaven and the earth? Why would we want to reduce that? It's wonderful what he made. And the same Lord who made the heaven and the earth is making the new heavens and the new earth. And it'll be colorful and full of life and delightful. Amen. From this psalm, I'd like to inject the idea that the Lord is on our side. In the first 2 verses there, if it had not been that the Lord was on our side, that makes me think right now of Romans 8 where it says, if the Lord be for us, big deal, who can be against us? They can be against us, but they shall not prevail. He's on our side, he is our help, he is our deliverer, he's our creator. Yes, even in the midst of our enemies, the Lord is all that. We journey onward. Psalm 125, a hymn of trust. Shall we read in unison verse 1 and 2? They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people. And verse 4 says, "Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts." The Lord surrounds his people. He protects them constantly. I don't know that we're going to sing it, but it reminds me of a song that is in your book that says, "Zion stands with hills surrounded, Zion kept by power divine. All her foes shall be confounded, though the world in arms combine. Happy Zion, happy Zion. What a favored lot is thine. Every human tie may perish, friend to friend unfaithful prove. Mothers cease their own to cherish, heaven and earth at last remove. But no changes can attend Jehovah's love. We are surrounded, well protected, as we journey on with the Lord. And Psalm 26 is beautiful. Once upon a time, I think I recall preaching a message on sowing in tears, and that's right in here, Psalm 126. But this is beautiful enough to read, I believe. I invite you to stand for a change of posture, and I'll read Psalm 126. "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." You may be seated. Is this our testimony? Is this your testimony? What we just got done reading. And I suspect some of you that got married chose verse 3, like my wife and I did. My wife to be and I did. "The Lord hath done great things for us." And he's done many great things since then, in the last 31 years. And you older ones that are 70 and plus, you have 70 plus years of memory maybe of great things that the Lord hath done for you. How can we stop praising him? Are we glad? Are we reaping in joy? Are we already starting to bring in some sheaves? I trust so. So what's our part in this? It's the Lord's doings here. Much of it mentions the Lord's doings. Our part is to keep on sowing. Sow in tears. Scatter the seed. Keep on sowing. What marvelous promises here. We shall reap in joy. I'm looking forward to that. We reap presently, but the greater reaping shall yet be. Reaping in joy. Sheaves with us. I cannot quite fathom all of that, but it's worth the journey to continue. Maybe I'd be allowed to invite all the children under 20 who have a Bible here and can read, I mean, can go all the way down to 6 or whatever, to stand. I want to see how many there are here. And if you have your Bibles open, I'd invite you to read one of these Psalms. And maybe for a better... Would it work if you'd come to the center aisle and just stand as a group? Why don't we do that? And the rest of us are going to listen in to what this says about children. Just stand together as a group there in the center aisle and turn to Psalm 127. You're there anyhow, I think, if you were following along. You're well surrounded, nothing to be afraid of. You boys can keep coming out and backing up a bit. Back into the rest there. And we're going to let you read all of Psalm 127 and 8 because it says a fair amount about children and youth here. And we want to hear it from your lips as parents and grandparents. You may start at verse 1 and just keep reading through till the end of 128. Accept the Lord. Thank you. You may go back and continue to bless your mothers and fathers. It's precious to hear that from them. And I'm sure you've had sermons on these passages, whether at weddings or otherwise, or on the Christian home. And it's good. This was part of this is a song, psalm or song that they sung as they were traveling to Jerusalem. And thank you for reminding us what the Lord says about children. I think I heard the name children 5 times in this reading. It says that they're an heritage of the Lord. They're a reward. They're like arrows. And that you bring happiness to your parents. And grandparents are here and they're experiencing exactly what it says in verse 6. They shall see their children's children. And peace upon Israel. They see their grandchildren becoming baptized here at Weavertown. You have an instruction class of 6. I don't know when baptism is scheduled, but I'm sure these are highlight moments in the journey. May it ever continue that we propagate within our own numbers. I don't know if I mentioned or not, we have 24 children at Fincastle in school, plus many that are not yet of school age. And a few that are past school age. It's a large blessing to have older people here. It's a real blessing to have children as well. What to say about the Lord here? He builds the house. He keeps the city. He gives children. He's the one that's to be feared. He's the one that shall bless. And I'm thinking that on this journey toward Jerusalem, they traveled as families. Is that the picture you get? They traveled as families. Remember Joseph and Mary and Jesus traveling together as a small family? Maybe there were some brothers in that group as well. Do we view our children as assets or liabilities? Blessing or bother? Olive plants or weeds? I trust we have a biblical, right perspective of children in the journey. They're in us. They're with us in the journey toward Jerusalem. Again, I refer to something mentioned in Life. Not that I study that all the time, but sometimes I like to look at some of their summary statements of a psalm or a chapter or whatever, similar to Halley's. Life without God is senseless. All of life's work, building a home, establishing a career, raising a family, must have God as foundation. Psalm 128 clearly mentions God as being the head of the home. Some call this the marriage prayer because it was often sung at an Israelite marriage. Psalm 128. Do we see the blessing of home and church context here? Psalm 128:5 suggests it's lifelong. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. You shall see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. And then the next verse, for another generation, the second generation. And the fear of God is part of that blessing too, when you see them walking in the fear of God as well. More could be said about this, but let's move on to Psalm 129. Is there a blessing here? I'm reading verse 1, 2, 4, and 8. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, may Israel now say. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. For the Lord is righteous. He hath cut asunder the cords of the wicked. And 8. Neither do they which go by say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. In the journey, to be sure, there will be afflictions. Maybe I mentioned that. There will be persecutions, etc. This writer says it twice. Many times since I was a young person have I been afflicted. And I've experienced some afflictions. I don't want to harp on that. Many times I've been blessed, to be sure. But young people, just count on it. There'll be some afflictions. It won't be all roses and cream and pie till you get to Glory Land. There will be afflictions. There'll be some persecutions. There'll be tests to stand. Times that you'll have to say no when the others say yes. Afflictions. And I, to you as a group at Weavertown, I repeat the words at the end of this psalm. We bless you in the name of the Lord. The Lord is the one who blesses. The Lord is righteous. Okay, Psalm 130. I don't know what I want to miss here, so why don't we read it together as a group? Psalm 130. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. Let Israel hope in the Lord. Amen. Thank you. The Lord hears. The Lord forgives. Aren't you glad for that truth? Forgiveness is with thee. With the Lord there is forgiveness. We have failed so many times. And there's plenteous redemption, even as much as verse 8 says. All his iniquities. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Number one is, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Forgiveth all thine iniquities. But in the journey, the way to obtain that forgiveness is to keep crying to the Lord, asking for forgiveness, repenting when we've become aware of sin. It's an ongoing thing. It's not just a blanket forgiveness that started on the day that you were baptized or born again. It'd be good to pray daily. Forgive us our debts. Forgive my debts as I forgive those who have trespassed against me. Forgiveness. Where's our hope? Very clear. Verse 5, the latter part. In his word do I hope. Verse 7, first part. Let Israel hope in the Lord. There's hope in the Word of God. There's hope in the Lord. There's help for the journey and hope for the journey. So let's keep going. Psalm 131, I thought of asking a humble man, volunteer to read this, but that might put you on the spot. Let me read it. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. The Lord is high. He's exalted. He's our hope forever. This is a testimony of a king. King David, I think. It says Song of Degrees of David. David was a great king. And yet he says, my heart is not haughty. My eyes are not lofty. It's like a weaned child. Content, humble. can be taught things, quiet, at rest. I think the Amplified there for that phrase about the weaned child says, cease from fretting, cease from fretting. Jesus calls us to be childlike, and I trust you know what that would mean. But the need of humility is so great in the journey. If we want to keep on, like Micah 6:8, the basics, and to walk humbly with God. That's true religion, to walk humbly with God. Any great man is a humble man. And the longest psalm is the next one, Psalm 132, so I'm just picking out a few. Verse 7 says, we will go into his tabernacles, we will worship at his footstool. Verse 8, arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. And then that beautiful last third from 13 and following. For the Lord has chosen Zion, he hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her people, her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will clothe her priests with salvation. Her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish. Maybe David is remembering the time that his palace was finished, how beautiful it was. But alas, something was missing. The ark wasn't there yet. And he wasn't at rest until the ark came back and was in its place. You might pick up that idea here in verse 4 and 5 in Psalm 132. And then verse 8, which I read. O Lord, enter into your rest. Arise into your rest and the ark of thy strength. And this ark was supposed to speak of God's presence. The ark, God's presence. So until that was there, in contrast to Psalm 131, there was a holy restlessness. He wasn't really at rest until he knew that God's presence was there. And we don't want to go on unless we have God's blessing. For the journey, we need God's blessing. We don't go on unless we have it. Where's the Lord's dwelling place? Where's the Lord's resting place? Clearly stated in 13 and 14. Zion, this is my place. Rest forever. Did we see any wills? We will. Verse 7, we will go into his tabernacles. We will worship. And we read quite a number of I wills from God himself in the last part. I don't think I'll elaborate on all that, but God is faithful to his oath. God dwells in our midst. We have encouragement to go on in the journey. And then we come to Psalm 133 and 4, the two short, sweet ones that are full of blessing. And they both start with behold, and they're worth looking at. Behold. Psalm 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. What's it like? It's like precious ointment upon the head which ran down upon the beard, upon Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Behold how good and how pleasant when Weavertown is together in oneness. Unity. I think the ones that are here from Trauger remember the message on pleasant unity. I think that's the name of a town out there, and they're called to that. Pleasant unity. You're called to that here in Lancaster. We're called to that in Fincastle, Daleville. To a unity that is observable, that is real, that is pleasant. It's precious. And I say it's vital for the journey. If we're going to continue on the journey, we need to be united in the journey. The journey's to prosper. United we stand. United we continue journeying. Divided we fall and maybe start going back. God forbid. We're journeying unitedly forward. The only other two verses in the King James that I know of that has the word unity, maybe I'd be allowed to read those, and they're both in Ephesians 4, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring. Yes, it takes effort. Personal effort. And then later in verse 13, till we all, got it? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And 134. Behold, again, this is worth looking at. This is worth having. This is worth maintaining. Bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord, here he comes again with this creation idea. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. End of Song of Degrees. Above all, we need God's blessing as we journey. We bless him, he blesses us. Or we bless him because he first blessed us. Where does he command the blessing? Where does he command life evermore? Picking up from the last verse in 133, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. It's in the context of unity. That's where. But there's an illustration in the last psalm that I read also that's interesting. It's the people, the watchmen who were on night duty. While everybody else was sleeping, they were on night duty and watching. By night, they stand in the house of the Lord. And we're called to be on night duty. We are not of the night. Now, how does that say in Thessalonians? That they are of the night, we are of the day. We're not in the darkness, we're of the light. So we're on duty while others are spiritually sleeping. We're on call, we're on duty. We're servants of the Lord, we're called to bless him day and night, wherever we are. So, I conclude with the blessing that's concluded here to you as a group at Wavertown. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. And maybe we'd be allowed to sing again the first verse of what did we sing here? 381. I'm pressing on the upward way. We want to commit ourselves to that. Let's sing it again. 381, just verse 1, as a concluding commitment and prayer it is. Song leader, you're welcome to start it again if you like. 381, verse 1.
New heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven. Play that I have found.